Well, hello, my friends, and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope y'all are having an absolutely fantastic day today, and be sure the last day to take advantage of the B-Complex formula. Jump on that while it's still on sale for the last day, and they'll be changing tomorrow. That's our vitamin B-Complex formula on sale for over 10% off. We've been talking about it all week, one of our most advanced formulas and one of our best sellers that we have, and what it actually does for the adrenals, for the immune function, for healthy stress response, for the cardiovascular support, for brain functioning. Fantastic products. So be sure to check it out on sale right now at healthmasters.com for over 10% off. And if you guys need anything, be sure to give us a call as well at 1-800-726-1834. We're always here to help you guys out. And we have a few other products that are on sale for the next couple of days, including the body fat and blood sugar protocol. That's our berberine ultimate cinnamon extract, and also the resveratrol plus, incredibly good antioxidant formula, anti-inflammatory support. Great product on sale as well for over 10% off. Now, one of the first things I've seen now, an article here, and it's interesting because we've discussed this actually. It's been coming out for decades, but yet it's becoming more and more real that this is becoming a serious problem. More evidence is now showing that pesticides are being directly linked to Parkinson's disease. They wouldn't say here, inhabitants of areas with higher use of atrazine were 25 to 36% more likely to develop Parkinson's, a new study showed, along with lindane and simazine, two other as far as pesticides as well. They said these agricultural pesticides and herbicides had been tied to an increased risk of Parkinson's disease, and they were presented at the 76th annual meeting of the Academy of Neurology in April last year, and more research again is now coming out. They went on to say here that essentially this increased risk is becoming a problem. Researchers came to the conclusion by looking at nationwide data from 21.5 million Medicare beneficiaries who are at least 67 years old in 2009, and 465 pesticides included in the U.S. Geological Survey. Then they zeroed in on 65 pesticides and determined their average annual application between 92 and 2008 by county. The more pesticides like atrazine were used, the higher rates of Parkinson's disease among people living in those areas that research team found a direct correlation to. So this is crazy. And I'll post the article on the website. You guys can read into it because it goes a lot further and all kinds of crazy stuff. But despite the pesticides' known toxicity to human health, many are really starting to realize that this is a serious problem. Again, this is the EPA. This is the EPA and their infinite stupidity. They're too busy trying to worry about if, you know, Toyota or Volkswagen or Cummins cheated on an emissions test 10 years ago and released a little bit more emissions than they were supposed to, but yet they're continually allowing pesticides and herbicides that are known to cause cancer, are known here again to cause Parkinson's disease and a whole host of other health problems, and they're knowingly allowing these compounds to be used at higher rates on food supplies all across the country. And this is another reason why, again, I tell you, it's so important to try to eat as clean as you can and know what you're eating, and as least processed that it is, usually the better that it is. And if you can, try to work with local food growers as far as farmers and people, individuals in your area, support those local dairy farms and so forth. Because again, not only are you supporting those groups that are local, you're also more likely able to have a much better understanding of what's being used on that food or with those cows or with those chickens or anything in between, so you understand what you're eating. So again, just want to throw that out there and give everybody a heads up and reminder why it really is important to try to avoid a lot of foods that are heavily sprayed with this stuff. What do you think, Dad? How are you doing this morning?
Austin, I'm doing very, very well. The problem with the atrazine and all of these other pesticides is that they're estrogen compounds, and they get into the food supply. Not only do they destroy your nervous system, they also, you know, make you have much lower testosterone levels, and they massively increase the feminization of the population. And they also decrease fertility. It's like a triple-edged sword. I know years ago, before I knew all of this stuff, this is like, you know, 30, 40 years ago, I would go in and I would have different types of, you know, herbicides and pesticides that I'd have. You'd have atrazine and Azulox and Basagran and, you know, and Roundup and all the rest of this stuff. And I started, you know, spraying it on the yard to keep my yard looking perfect. And every year I'd get some weeds that I would get out of control, and I'd cut the weeds out and I'd replant new sod. And this went on for years. And finally I looked at the, you know, weeds and I said, you know, this is ridiculous. I said, these are plants. I only call them weeds because I don't like them being here. Why am I doing this? And then I was talking to one of my neighbors, and his yard was a mess. It was full of weeds. And I said to him, his name was Warren, a great guy, Warren Williams. He's passed away now. And I said to him, I said, Warren, I said, you know, you've got, you know, St. Augustine grass in your yard. Why is it that you've allowed the weeds to take over? And he goes, well, Ted, he goes, my yard used to look just like yours. It used to be perfect. And he says, but finally I realized that it was way too much work, way too many chemicals, way too much, you know, too many toxic compounds I'm putting on my yard. And I decided the weeds had won. And I started laughing. I said, you mean the weeds won? He goes, yeah, the weeds always win. He says, once you stop spraying all this junk, it goes back to where it's supposed to be, and whatever's supposed to be there from an indigenous standpoint comes back in, and the weeds always win. And I thought, wait a minute. You know, he's right. You know, I'm fighting things that are wanting to grow here, and I'm trying to keep things alive that don't want to grow here, and I'm putting this St. Augustine grass down, which is requiring copious amounts of water and maintenance. Why am I doing this? So I started letting it go. And then finally, I realized that I wasn't going to do that all anymore. So now if you look at my yard, it's like a hodgepodge of 1,000 different things growing at once. Don't really care, and because I'm not going to spray the weeds because I live on a lake. And I started realizing also, in the event that we had an apocalyptic event and food supply was limited, in fact, we've had, you know, hundreds of over 100,000 family farms have gone out of business in the last 7 or 8 years. If something happened and we couldn't get food, then I'd be fishing out of the lake and eating fish. And I started realizing, do I really want to eat these fish that have all this atrazine and chemicals inside of them too? I said, no, I don't want to do that. So I quit doing it. I left it be. But a lot of people don't understand that. We had a weed that got into the lake. It was hydrilla weed. No, it wasn't hydrilla weed. It was one of the ones that floated on top of the surface. It was like a water hyacinth, and you know, and it was pesty. It was a pain. Every so often they'd float up on your lakefront. You'd have to have them hauled off, but it wasn't that big of a deal. The water was pristine clear. It was full of clams and mussels. And my neighbors decided that they wanted to go ahead and start having the lake treated and sprayed for the water hyacinths. And I said, wait a minute, guys. I said, don't do that. I said, I was on a lake way back in the, you know, 60s and 70s called Lake Mariana. It used to be called Lake Sanitary, and it had the same problem. It started getting weeds in, and they started spraying it, and it killed everything. And I said, the whole lake's a contaminated, you know, slush pond now. And I said, don't do that. Just let it be, and just we'll just manually keep them, these water hyacinths pulled out. Oh, no, no, they had to spray the lake. And what happens, we had literally thousands of freshwater clams on our beachfront. They wash up all the time, and they do crawl back out into the water. And those little mollusks, they kept everything clean. They filtered the water. Well, once they started spraying all the poison, guess what happened? All the mollusks start dying, and then the weeds start taking over, and it turned into this vicious cycle. And now the lake is a black pit. You know, we used to swim in it in the middle of the lake. It's a 1,000-acre lake. We used to take the boat out in the middle of the lake when I had a boat. Would drop an anchor and just everybody would dive overboard. It was like living in a giant freshwater spring. The water was so clear. And now you can't even see the bottom, you know, when it's 4 feet deep. And it's like a black, murky bottom with, you know, weeds everywhere. And all the clams are dead. And the water every once in a while get clear again, but it gets dirty again. We ruined the ecosystem. I didn't do it. The neighbors did. I warned them not to do it, but they wouldn't listen. This is exactly what we're doing to the planet, you know, using chemtrails, using the atrazine, all these different chemicals. And then I start noticing that so many of my people that I know, Austin, especially over the age of 50, 60, 70-year-old friends that I have, they're coming down with Parkinson's disease. I mean, I'm talking about dozens of them. You see their hands are just a shake and just quivering. And you say, what the heck's wrong with your hand? I don't know. I think I've got Parkinson's. I've been diagnosed with Parkinson's. I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. You know, how much exposure have you had to pesticides? How many exposure have you had to herbicides? And another one, how much exposure have you had to dry cleaning solvents? A lot of the people that I know that have that issue, they basically wear suits or coats and ties, and they have their clothes laundered, and they're having all these dry cleaning solvents that are touching their skin all the time. So I tell folks, stay away from all the solvents, stay away from all the chemicals, use natural detergents, stuff that breaks down before it gets into the ecosystem and contaminates everything. And I finally have begun to realize that, you know, this planet is in a very delicate balance. It really is. And that's why I get so aggravated when they start doing things like they get a diesel engine that gets almost 100 miles per gallon over in Europe, and then decide to put a, you know, DPF filter on it. Instead of getting 100 miles per gallon anymore, now it gets 40 or 50. Over here, we have trucks that are getting 30 miles per gallon with diesel engines, and now they're getting 12 or 15. And they say, oh, it's better for the environment. And they don't even think about the fact they're burning up twice as much fuel as they were before they put the DPF filters on them. Twice as much. Getting half the fuel mileage. So you have all this extra oils having to be processed at the refineries, all this extra pollution is being created. It's some zero, especially when we have the technology, Austin, that we can go in right now and using the magnetic eddies in the earth from Nikola Tesla, he showed us how to do this, and recharge batteries if we even had to use batteries, and we could run vehicles all over the planet without having to have any type of petrol compound in these vehicles. We have the technology. The sad part about it is they won't let us have it. They won't let us use it because it's advanced science. I mean, we have the ability with our space-based weapon platform systems to lay waste of entire cities, entire countries if we wanted to. All that technology is available today, but it's locked up behind, you know, these closed doors in the CIA and the, you know, and the industrial, you know, complex that runs the planet as far as the military industrial complex that Eisenhower warned us about, which, by the way, I don't care for Eisenhower either, but he did say the truth about that. And then we have the great Ponzi scheme that's going on. The fiscal burden of the United States is getting seriously out of control. It's been seriously out of control for many, many years. The burden of the government spending has increased by nearly $3 trillion over the past 10 years, nearly doubling in just one decade, and that means more resources diverted from the economy's productive center into basically borrowing and more taxes and more money for printing. To make matters worse, the burden of spending will get even heavier in the coming decades, most because politicians have saddled the nation with poorly designed entitlement programs, including 40, 50 million people brought across the border that we're feeding for absolutely no reason whatsoever because we just want to, and it gives no sense, you know, with our aging population. What's more, Washington has dozens of ill-conceived programs ostensibly to help the needy, but they are riddled with perverse incentives which promote the opposite of what was intended, which gives them incentive not to work. And here's some of the numbers. $34 trillion in interest-bearing debt as of December 2023. $128 trillion in total obligations, including unfunded obligations on Social Security and Medicare. $18.2 trillion in an additional interest-bearing debt projected by the CBO over the next 10 years. $150-plus trillion in interest-bearing debt in 30 years if we do not change our programs. And it's even worse than that. We also have derivative exposure into the thousands of trillions, into the quadrillions. And this is what caused the giant collapse back in 2008, was one of the factors in which the money supply simply wasn't available in order to, you know, to basically control the debt and to service the debt. And so we see all of this stuff happening around us, and we stop and we think, wait a minute, what are we doing? Well, again, this is the banking sector that's done this. This is the Kabbalist, Luciferian synagogue of Satan putting in a Federal Reserve system in our country in 1913. And that group of people now have also bought up almost all the major corporations of the United States through BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard, which, of course, these bloodline families also work with them. But this is the group of people that continually do this. They pump and dump the stocks. They pump and dump the currency. These are currency traders like George Soros. They can come in and actually destroy a country's currency within a matter of weeks if they wanted to. And the sad part about it is, we will not implement laws against them, Austin, because these guys are the same ones that grease the political apparatus and the machinations behind the scene of the population of basically politicians that we have here that are lifelong politicians who never leave office, who basically stay in office forever, along with the non-elected officials that are put in positions of power by certain legislatures, which also create laws and statutes which we never have any right to vote on. So we have this giant vampire squid that is locked onto the jugular vein of the United States of America, and it's sitting here just sucking the blood out of this country because it wants to, because it wants a one world government, a new world order under Lucifer. They want a third temple rebuilt, and they want to do everything they possibly can to destroy what God gave us in this country and destroy Christianity. That's why there's this unbelievable, insanely hard attitude towards Christians and towards believers right now. That's why the liberal left, who runs the media, who's also controlled by these same bankers, is putting Christians down, putting Christians down, putting Christians down. They're the same ones that have infiltrated the churches and are bringing us the socialistic doctrine of the churches now and so much of the name it, claim it, grab it, blab it nonsense that they put into the pulpit. All of this stuff is being used in concert with Cloward and Piven, as I mentioned earlier, to basically have all of these children and all of these people in the United States under a debt cloud, underneath a entitlement cloud of people that have come into the United States that want to not have anything to do here besides just come rob, steal, kill and destroy. It's sad, Austin, but that's why we have to keep our hearts and minds in Christ all the days of our life, because if we don't do that, this whole situation is going to get worse and worse and worse and worse. What do you think, buddy?
You're spot on with that, man. You're seeing now. I was reading an article over in Denver, and they were talking about how essentially the state is running out of money. Remember, I talked week and a half ago how they were laying off all these workers. Well, the Colorado Sanctuary City of Denver is now asking residents to house illegal aliens as the shelters have become so crowded from the influx of foreign invaders. Denver Mayor Mike Johnson announced Friday that the city has started to scale back its migrant services because it no longer has the funds, facilities, or resources. They said the current budget deficit facing over 40,000 who have come to Denver just in the last year are costing the taxpayers there $180 million. Now, I was looking at some of this stuff, and it was talking about how what their this influx and the insanity that ensues with these groups, especially these mayors and these liberal morons that essentially agree to this and they think it's this fantastic thing. Oh, we're doing this. But yet nobody actually looks at how to fund it. This is what happens when you have complete and total nightmare communists that start running governments and cities and counties. You have these groups that they just live in this fantasy world. Oh, it's going to be cloud and pivot strategy. It's going to be fantastic. We're going to bring all these people and we're going to overload the welfare system. We're going to help all these people. We're going to do this. But nobody ever figures out, well, how are you planning on funding it? Where's the cash coming from? Somebody's going to pay for it. Nothing is free. There's not a single thing in this world that is free except for the grace of God Almighty. And he still had to pay with that for his blood. Everything you have, everything you see, every resource, something costs money somewhere. It costs somebody time. It costs somebody energy. It costs somebody something to provide. And this is the stupid ideology that keeps being perpetrated by the left where they tell everyone, oh, it's no big deal. It don't matter. We'll figure it out. Sanctuary City, bring another 100,000 and we'll figure out how to do it. Now they're sitting here saying that they're going to offer residents to basically open up their homes like Airbnbs and they'll give them $2,000 a month to hold migrants in their house. $2,000 a month? That's it? You got to have random people in your house now that you have to basically clothe and feed and take care of and worry about them trashing your house out? Yeah, this is what happens in communism. They start overtaking people's homes. This is what happened in Russia. This is what's happened in China. It's happened in numerous countries in the past. We start having all-power government come in and say, hey, you got a five-bedroom house. There's only three of you guys living there. You got two extra bedrooms. We're basically now taking your bedrooms. We're commandeering them. There are bedrooms now for the migrants. We're going to give you a couple pennies. You know, this is the whole reason why when you look back with the Revolutionary War and the basically with what happened with the Patriots and the Founding Fathers with the amendment
and the British Redcoats.
The British Redcoats. This is one of the reasons why they had that in there as far as the fact that they did not allow, they were not going to allow, essentially quartering of soldiers. That was the Third Amendment. There was a reason why this was happening. There's a reason. A lot of people overlook that. We always have the, you know, the First Amendment, you know, freedom of speech. Then people go in and you have the Second Amendment, which is very important. Well, then you have the Third Amendment, which is quartering of soldiers. The Fourth Amendment, search and seizure. Fifth Amendment, grand jury, self-incrimination, so forth. And so what happened is the reason why is because the British were notorious for this. They would literally come in and say, oh, you got a nice plantation home. You got 6-7 bedrooms in here. You know, we're going to have about 15 or 20 redcoats now. You're going to have to feed them. You have to clothe them. You have to do all their laundry for them. You have to take care of them. And they're just going to live here now for free because we said so. And there's a there was a TV show that came out years ago. It was like a series. I think it was called George Washington Spies. I can't remember. It was years ago. And I remember seeing – I have to look it up again. It was a very interesting show because it had a lot of stuff that was historically accurate. And then obviously they added a few things in there. But they showed this in great detail what happened when a lot of these colonies, when the Redcoats would come in and they would just take over all these houses. And the women in there are literally doing laundry and feeding them all day long. These guys just trashing place out. Just don't care. Leave mud everywhere, leave clothes everywhere, leave food everywhere. And this is what happens when you start allowing this to happen because these individuals, a lot of them here, they're not here because of humanitarian reasons. I told you that already. One of my buddies from Venezuela is here. He came here legally. He said these guys are coming in. They're militia. These guys are mercenaries. There's a reason why you keep seeing videos and they're all 19, 20, 21, 22-year-old males, all good shape. All clean cut, all standing in line with one duffel bag coming to the border. Newsflash, these aren't asylum seekers for people that are having all types of issues and they're trying to get to the United States for a better life. These guys are soldiers. They're mercenaries, and they're being brought here, and they're being paid, and they're being housed, and they're being set up for a specific reason in the near future. It's very, very clear what they're doing, and so many people, I think, are kind of failing to realize that and kind of overlooking it, just pretending, ah, you know what, don't worry about it. It's fine. We'll just talk about something else. Oh, did you see what's going on with Israel? Oh, yeah, she was going on with Ukraine. Look, we'll talk about that because, you know, we don't want to address what's going on. No, there's a serious problem going on right now, and it needs to be addressed. And that's why so many people are starting to really push back now because of what's happening. It's so many people at the border and all these other states are really starting to call out.
Well, I think we left off that he was doing a great job, too. But I'm going to go ahead and take over for just a minute because he's absolutely right about the quartering of soldiers and the quartering of people in your home. I'll never forget, I was watching a movie, you guys can see it, Dr. Zhivago. It was a movie that was done back in the 60s. Incredible movie, and one of the most beautiful movies I've ever seen. And he had basically been forced to go in and fight the war, you know, as far as the Revolutionary War in Russia with the communists. And he came back to his beautiful home, and they had like 60 people in his home. And he was told that his house was so big that it would house more than just one family. And he was given a bedroom to stay in, and all the rest of the people were in there. And they were chopping up his furniture for firewood and all the rest of this stuff because they had no way of supporting themselves. And he was being forced to try to take care of this whole group of people in his house. It was incredible how horrible that it was. And there's a really good article here by Rob Pugh, who's a good friend of mine, that says there's no excuse for being clueless. It says, given the work that I do, I'm reading from him, I'm quoting him now, it grieves me to see so many professing Christians who are so ignorant of the days and the times we're living in. Most don't know, don't want to know what's really going on in this world or how Christ's followers are to respond to all of it. Truly, those who are not Christians or are nominal Christians at best are much more well-informed than those who claim to be devout, because most American people, churches today do more harm than good for the kingdom of God. Now, that's a pretty strong statement that Rob just made, and I will say that he's correct about that most, and that'd be like 51%, I guess. That would be the majority of those. And but then we have the name it, claim it, grab it, blab it churches, 90% of them do more harm. And the biggest problem that we have is the Zionism movement that has happened in the United States with churches in which they really believe that, you know, Israel plays a pivotal role in end times, and it does as far as bringing in the Antichrist, the country of the Antichrist. It does do all that. That's a fact. And that's because it's a Rothschild fiefdom, and God knew that was going to happen when all of these things were written thousands of years ago. Now, what's interesting about all of this stuff is when you stop and you look at it, it's that theory on the rapture that has basically made all the Christians step back and not want to be involved in it. It's also the Johnson Amendment that happened with that pervert Lyndon Johnson back in the 50s, in which he came in and said that the churches and pastors could no longer come in and say things about politicians and be politically active because he was such a pervert, he wanted to stop talking about him. That's a fact. You got to go look all that up if you want to do it. But Rob goes on to say, let me give you a case in point. I know a couple of people who are very devout churchgoers. Literally, whenever the doors of the church are open, they're there. These folks receive the newspaper, the Wisconsin Christian News, and for many years, but it's doubtful they've ever read it or even opened it. There's the typical modern American church where the pastor is careful to never speak anything that may be construed as offensive. The church only offers the modern praise and worship courses and then an uplifting feel-good message as a sermon. To put it succinctly, it's your best life now, church. And this is always a positive motivational speech. Now, there's nothing wrong with a positive motivational speech. There's not. I agree with a lot of that. That's okay. But you also have to have real sermons in there that tell you real things to do. They teach that God just wants his people to be nice to others, be happy, be blessed, financially secure, comfortable at all times, and be at peace. Certainly you have it all, or most of these things as the child of God. As with most American churches, the people are never called to actually do anything, nor are they trained for the work of the ministry. I'm going to add this. They're also talked and told not to ever cause conflict. Basically, they're taught to go along, to get along. Everybody's happy, happy, happy all the time, and nobody ever talks about the real issues that are going on with the federal government or the state governments or the local governments because they just want to be happy all the time. Now, he goes on to say, these people that I'm referring to will never read or hear the message he is writing because they will only listen to contemporary Christian music, radio stations, and obviously never open the pages of the Wisconsin Christian News or follow any alternative Christian news sources. They're clueless about things like the globalist New World Order, the radical LGBT movement, the demonic transgender agenda, pornographic books, pornographic internet, and sexually perverted indoctrination of our children in public schools, the imprisonment of January 6 political prisoners, the deadly hospital protocols, the depopulation agenda with COVID jabs, the radical pro-death agenda of Planned Parenthood, the invasion of our nation by foreign enemies, and so much more. Now, we're not even talking about what happened with 9/11. We're not talking about what happened with Roswell in 1947 with the demonic angels and all the other things that we've been exposed to now. We're not talking about the advanced, you know, stuff as far as technology to have. Needless to say, they both have received all of their COVID jabs. In fact, the church opened up as a vaccination center a few years ago. Now, this past Christmas, these folks gave some framed artwork to someone I know. The recipient is a wide-awake Christian follower who is well-informed and active in standing against evil and deception. As he unwrapped the gift, he was astonished. This framed artwork was a rainbow flag with the words love, love, blazoned on it to promote homosexuality. The gift from a couple of extremely devout churchgoers left him and his wife utterly speechless. Now, I don't even know how to respond to this. Here's how he did. As gently and tactfully as they could, they asked, "Don't you know what this is? Don't you know what this means? How could you not know what this is?" The response was, "Oh, no, we had no idea. We just saw a Target. We thought it was a pretty picture, and that would bless your home with love." Wow. Now, they go, while their intentions were good, they truly had no idea that the rainbow flag stood for, or the words love is a clarion and a clarion call for the same-sex marriage movement. It's been 9 years now since the Supreme Court decision, 9 years, and still these extremely devout churchgoers had no idea, nor do they have any idea of Target's blatant hatred for Christians and conservatives, or Target's arrogant advancement of homosexual and transgender movements with the products they sell even for children, or Target's pro-transgender open restroom policies, nor do they have any idea of how many other people go to places like Starbucks to get Starbucks products, which basically hate Christians and hate white Christians and hate people that are armed. They don't understand any of this stuff. That's why they have in the church a Starbucks, you know, center for coffee. I've seen it over and over and over again. And the sad part about it is, I won't read any more. This office is back with me now. The sad part about this is that people are just out there, you know, floundering and not understanding why they're floundering, not understanding why their Christian growth isn't getting better, not understanding why their prayers are going unanswered, not understanding why the goals and the direction of their lives aren't what they want them to be, but they refuse to stop and look at what they're doing in their lives, what they're doing to their children's lives, and what they're doing in their neighborhood's lives. They refuse to do any of this stuff. All they want to do is be left alone, get along to go along, and never, ever talk about Jesus. And Austin said something. Nothing's free. Nothing's free in this world. And I never thought about it like this. Jesus paid the price. He did. Now, he voluntarily paid the price by spilling of his blood so that we all would have salvation, so that we would all have the ability to reconcile ourselves to God Almighty and come boldly into the throne of grace and to pray. The reason he did all that stuff is because he loved us. It wasn't because he wanted us to think he was a vending machine and to go up and get anything we wanted whenever we wanted it from him. There's a reason that certain people are blessed and certain people aren't blessed. That's a fact. A lot of it is based and determined by their lifestyle choices and what they do on an ongoing basis and if they bring honor and glory to God, and if they stay goal-oriented, goal-focused, and goal-directed and realize that it is Jesus who is the author and the finisher and the perfecter of our faith. If these people understand that, God will continue to bless them all the days of their life. If they don't, he won't, because he steps away from all of that. Remember that. He still loves you. If you're saved, you're saved, but he doesn't want you walking in sin and doing the things that the world does. It's very important that we understand that. And that doesn't mean we're supposed to be pious or sanctimonious. That doesn't mean that whatsoever. What it means is that God is God. He's on the throne, and he wants us to be circumspect with him, to treat him with great, you know, admiration and great respect, and wants us to do the best we possibly can while we're here. Then that gift that he gave us by the shedding of his own blood, by his own life, is there for us through grace, because there's nothing we can do to deserve that. He did that for free. Always remember that. And so Rob is right in this article. So many Christians refuse to pay any attention to what's going on in the real world. So many Christians refuse to think about what they're doing and how they're affecting other people's lives. And so many Christians don't want to be out there saying things that they're afraid that's going to offend other people because they're so caught up in their own world and their own lives. That's why they let the school system have transgender counselors. That's why they let the school system have all the crazy stuff that they do in the schools, and that's why they let the schools go in and do all the stuff with their children rather than pulling their children out of that school system and homeschooling them and getting them out of that world indoctrination center, which is what it is. So Rob's right. I'm going to post this article. He's a good friend of mine. You guys read the article and support Wisconsin Christian News. Go ahead and get a copy of that paper. Start ordering it for yourself so you can read all these articles that he puts out every month. But that's important because Austin said that earlier, and he's absolutely right. Nothing in this world is free. Everything comes at a price. Because even Jesus himself had to lay down his own life. That was the price that he paid for us, but he was willing to do that for all of us. That's a good point, Austin. What do you think, buddy? And what's your next story?
You're spot on with that. And this is why, you know, it's important also too, to, I mean, when you have kids, to teach them as far as, you know, hard work and due diligence and continuing to set goals and continue to do things at work. Because there's so many kids nowadays, as far as they grow up and they have this entitlement mindset. We've watched it now over the years. I mean, everybody's seen it now. And that I apologize for my connection here. I've got an issue with my connection to iPad over here at the office. So I'm using different equipment than we normally use in the visual. So I've had to switch back over on some stuff right now, but we got everything back up and running. But back to what I was saying, it's very important because what's happened now is this generational.
Awesome. Put the microphone closer to your mouth, buddy.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, now? Much better.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry about that. Yeah. I'm working with what I got over here right now. And so what's continually happened is this generation has gone continually in this position where everything is so entitled, and that's what you see now with these kids now, where they expect everything's supposed to be free, everything's supposed to be taken care of. They go to a job. Well, I don't think I should have to work on these days, so I'm just not going to go to work. I don't think I have to go to a meeting, so I'm not going to.
Apparently, Austin's got some serious connection problems this morning at the office, which is frustrating because we try to bring you a really high-quality show every single day. We're still giving you good content, but the reality is sometimes equipment stuff starts doing really weird things. But, you know, I'll do a couple more sentences out of this thing with Rob that he was writing. He goes, but if all you're doing is reading our newspaper, you're missing the point. Most of the articles we publish are meant to direct the reader to further and deeper study of God's Word, the Bible. That's where all the answers are, and that's what we're trying to point people toward. Yes, we must know the news of the day, and we must be aware of the understanding of the latest lies and schemes of the enemy, but it's God's word that makes what we see in our daily headlines all make sense, and it's God's word that explains the role we have to play in such a time as this, and it's God's word, when properly studied, that moves us to action in his name, boldly calling out the lies, informing the ignorant, leading the lost to the only one who's able to save their souls. That would be Christ Jesus. So in these days, we all need to spend more time making serious study of God's word. It contains not only the history of the world, but it's the timeless lessons from the Creator himself on how we should act, what we should do, and how we should respond to the coming upon the earth, right? How we should respond to all that's coming upon the earth right now, and how we overcome the enemy. Sadly, most pastors today won't even admit we have an enemy, much less instruct and equip the people to spiritual warfare. You know, it's funny to me on this. Let me talk about spiritual warfare for just one second. I learned about this back, you know, a long, long time ago, and I'd never been exposed to it, how we have to pray against the onslaughts of the enemy, that our battle's not against flesh and blood, but against these principalities and these outer dimensions. And, you know, that Lucifer's in charge of this world. We were never taught any of that in Sunday school, you know, even after I got saved. And what I've learned is this, that in many cases, Christians are unequipped at all to put on the armor of God. They're unequipped to stand their ground. They're unequipped for it because they don't understand the demonic possession and demonic transference and demonic entities are real. And they can hitchhike on people and bring things into your home and bring things, you know, into your house and bring things into your car and bring things into your neighborhood. You know, I remember years ago, we had this is a crazy story. We had a new neighbor moving into the neighborhood, and a guy from across the lake came over on a jet ski, and he said, be aware of this man moving into your neighborhood. And I'm like, what do you mean, this man? He goes, this guy's bad news. He used to be in our neighborhood, and he basically is a nightmare, and he will do everything he can to cause conflict. And I said, oh, wait a minute, stop. I said, I don't even know this guy. I haven't met him yet. I said, you're not going to tell me who he is and how he is if I don't know him, because I'm not going to allow somebody to come in and give me a preformed opinion on somebody. But I appreciate the heads up, but I'll make my own decision whether I like the guy or not. Well, years later, I've realized that the guy who came across the lake on the jet ski was 100% right. This guy, all he does is lie and create conflict. I mean, he's unbelievable. And so now you begin to realize that this battle, in some cases, we're being warned in advance, like the Bible does, like this guy did me, but we don't want to listen. So that's why we got to be so careful when we're dealing with people that we don't know who they are or how they are. We have to get to know people before we start making decisions on who they are. And let me put it this way, too. Everybody makes decisions that aren't good for themselves in their past. Everybody makes a mistake every once in a while. But it's the difference between a person who makes a mistake every once in a while and a person who basically is doing what God wants them to do as far as from a grace standpoint is the person that continually seeks God's will and continually tries to walk in love and try to help other people and tries to tell the truth. When some people are out there, they're so bad, that they start making bad choices as a child, and that becomes ingrained in their psyche, and they never, ever, ever stop. They continue to make bad choices all the days of their lives, and they're like a little tornado. And that tornado basically has a debris field associated with it. And when you step inside of that tornado, you get hit with pianos and, you know, and microwave ovens and, you know, and, you know, and all kinds of crazy debris in that field, because that person is churning up all of this debris. And the best thing to do is stay away from that tornado, stay away from that debris field, if you know that's what it is, and realize that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, but we need to think about where we are, where we've placed ourselves, and do you really want to be in a debris field from that tornado? So now I'm still nice to this guy. I still talk to him when he talks to me, but I don't go out of my way to engage him because all he does is lie. And now he's got all kinds of health problems on top of that. So now he's become a crabby old man. He's awful now. And so I try my best just to avoid him. See, that's the way some people are. And that's why as Christians, we need to realize that there are certain people out there that we don't need to associate with. They're going to cause us all types of problems if we do. What do you think, Austin? What's your next story?
All right, I'm back up again. This has been a heck of a day over here with the service. And, yes, you're absolutely right about that, especially when you start seeing people's character, especially when you start seeing people that continually lie, you start seeing people that continually manipulate. That's always a big key indicator when you really need to take a step back. You know, over the years, I've seen people, and I've been friends with people when I was younger, and, you know, you start seeing sometimes people trying to manipulate situations. You know, whether they're trying to do certain things or they're always trying to make sure everything benefits them on their end, regardless of who it injures or hurts. And you start looking at it and you go, you know, I really want to associate or do business with this person. This is something I really want to engage with. And it's something really you got to start being aware of, especially as you start getting older and you start having more intuition, I guess you could say, and more concrete, rational thought when you start getting in your 20s. Also, too, going back to my earlier story here, this is kind of this double-sided story that's coming out now that I want to address, because you guys know I am not a fan nor am I a supporter of TikTok at all. I think it's ruined half the younger generation with their stupid dance videos. However, what they're doing now is, I talked to earlier before the internet cut out, is that what they're using is Protecting Americans from Foreign Adversary Controlled Applications Act to pass it so they can ban TikTok in the United States and essentially require companies controlling such applications to provide user data to American users upon request. Now, it's interesting about this. They said the problems with TikTok go far beyond privacy concerns and include national security risks, because the average TikToker is far more likely to expose content favorable to the Communist Chinese Party than a user of other major social media. Now, let me clarify this right now. This is a complete and total manipulated article and bill in order to try to justify and controlling what is on the internet with social media platforms and the ability to censor anything they can from the federal government. TikTok, when it first came out, I don't know about it now, they did not have really any mitigations on there to control misinformation. There was a lot of information that came out on there during COVID, a lot of information that came out during COVID, and people were talking about it and making videos and discussing stuff and what was going on with the shot and Remdesivir. That was not okay for the individuals who were trying to run the show behind the scenes with their illicit vaccine that they were trying to push on everyone. The thing about TikTok is they want to use this clause, well, the Chinese Communist Party owns it, they're using it to spy on everybody, and they're using it to collect data. What in the world do you think they use Meta and Facebook and all these other social media platforms with the CIA? The CIA is collecting the exact same information and probably using an even more nefarious application by sending it to the NSA and their giant data collection center out in Utah and building algorithms on every single person that uses these social media platforms, especially if you leave your permissions open and you do not cover up your selfie camera. So using this excuse now because China came up with TikTok and China's spying on all the kids that are doing TikTok dances as a reason now to completely ban the platform. It is, again, another excuse for the U.S. government with the deep state and the CIA to be able to have more further control over the internet and say it's the adversary clause. It's the new bill, the Protect Foreign Adversary Controlled Applications Act, to protect the American population. Let me be abundantly clear, and I can say this as clear as I possibly can. The CIA, the deep state, and the federal government do not care one
ounce about your safety or protection. Not a single inkling. They have no interest in your safety and protection unless it is to benefit them in their favor at that current time, and after which that such time is gone, they then no longer care again. We saw that very clear during COVID. We saw that very clear with the FDA and that experimental RNA shot that we were told was safe and effective, yet we now know is unbelievably dangerous. So again, don't fall prey to this supporting the federal government have more control and more restrictions over everything that comes out on the internet because they're trying to protect you against China. Let's be real. China, the Federal Reserve, and all the central banks and the CIA are all in the same bed together. They all eat at the same table. They all engage with the same topics. They're all working for the same exact platform, and that is to control every single thing that everyone does. China's just farther ahead of the curve with being able to control their general population because of their 650 million CCTV cameras and their social media platform and their social credit score that they have out there. They've just figured out how to do it faster, be more compliant with the citizens, well, because, again, Chinese citizens are completely disarmed. They did that a long time ago. And the United States is this quandary on the mountain for the deep state because there's still so many armaments in the United States, including legal transferable belt-fed machine guns like M60s that are still applicable, still legal to purchase, still legal to transfer with the proper documentation and tax stamps. That's a real problem for tyrants. Don't really care who you are. Nobody wants to get engaged with a 7.62-51 caliber at 700 rounds per minute through a belt-fed machine gun. It doesn't go well for anybody. That's why they're pushing so hard to control the narrative with firearms. That's why they're telling everyone you cannot own a gun, you do not own an assault rifle, AR-15s are bad, 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 bad. But we're giving surface air missiles and javelins to Ukraine by the boatload that are then going down to Yemen that are being used against our own ships and then being used as the effect and as the excuse to start more wars in the Middle East, while at the same time the cartel in Mexico are running around with AT-4 rocket launchers that are built in Sweden. Still haven't figured out how those cross paths with all these other weapons, including Haiti now. So when you start seeing the narrative be pumped out and telling you, you need to do this for your safety and protection, my answer is kick rocks. I'll handle my own safety and protection. The next time I'm going to listen to somebody tell me about my safety and protection will be never. We all did that during COVID for a short period of time, and we realized it was a complete and total lie, and we can never compromise and allow a group of individuals to have that much dictatorial control over us with one specific situation in the event that we have to stand up and we have to push back. Because we can never allow that to happen again. I've encouraged so many people to continue to do their research with everything that happened with COVID, with everything that happened with the shot, and realize this can't happen again. We can't be fooled again on this because they're going to try it. That's why the World Health Organization is trying to put this treaty together that they want to suck the entire world into and try to force everyone to go into engagement with this. This is why it's so important to stand up and be vocal about it. And on top of that as well, in the middle of this massive invasion, the Biden administration is now demanding another $13 billion from Congress for new sanctuary cities and migrant housing. The money just doesn't stop. I can't even make this up. While the average American is basically trying to deal with the massive inflationary effect that we see now due to the COVID stimulus package that was put together in 2020, and we're watching the interest rates continue to stay sky high, we need to start borrowing more money that we don't have to feed and take care of all the militia that are coming here from other countries. If you can't see that this is a directed engagement designed to overthrow the United States at a certain point, if we don't push back, I don't know what to tell you on that. That's why basically there's all these different things that keep coming out now with more rules and more restrictions to try to control what you do, to control where you drive, to control how you travel. I was reading an article here earlier, and it was talking about Boeing now has had 5 catastrophes in the last, week. There's another article that came out now. Apparently another landing gear fell off another plane. I mean, I don't know what's going on. These guys are here. It shows footage in Houston. United Airlines Boeing 737 suffered a landing gear failure straight from the one runway. No injuries or deaths were reported. They said this is 5 days, 5 separate public airplanes have put passengers through horrific scares across America. And again, this is what happens when you have this whole DEI program where you put people in positions that do not belong in those positions. I've told you guys before, certain people function better in certain roles. Certain people see things, they think things, they analyze things differently than others. That's why you have the LSATs. The LSATs are designed to determine whether or not you can think like an attorney. There's all kinds of tests that go through the realms. That's why you have stuff like basically when you go into certain aspects as you go into your MCATs. And so there's aspects that some people are better at than others. That's not racist or discriminatory. That's just a fact. And if you have individuals that do not know how to tighten a tire on their landing gear and do proper maintenance, and you're putting them in that position simply because, well, I don't know, they're diverse because they have purple hair and a nose ring and basically have 50 different pronouns in their bio, that's why they got the position. You start having problems like this with Boeing. But, man, 5 different instances in 5 days, this is getting quite spooky, I might say, considering the fact that, golly, almost, if I didn't know better, I would almost say this is intentional and they're trying to bring a halt again to the airline market to try to prevent people from being able to travel freely, unmolested on their way. But again, that's just speculation, but sometimes coincidences are no longer coincidences, and this is either just DEI run amok and nobody's maintaining these planes, or this is intentional and they're trying to basically reduce the amount of airplanes that are flying around, including with the pilots and everything else that have occurred with myocarditis. What do you think, Deb?
Well, you know, being a pilot, you know, because I'm a licensed pilot, everybody knows that. I've told everybody that many times. You know, it's not something that you do overnight. It's not something that you basically become good at, you know, the next week. It's not something that's a skill set that you acquire over a period of a few hours. It takes weeks. It takes years. It takes many years. It takes decades to build up to 10, 15, 20,000 hours on an airplane, which everything becomes second nature. Until you get to about 1,000 hours on a flight, on a plane, on an airplane, you really aren't that good. You're still learning. The first 1,000 hours is that big learning curve. But it takes a long, long time to get 1,000 hours. If you basically fly 100 hours a year, it's going to take you 10 years to become, you know, a pilot with 1,000 hours. And the same thing is true with maintenance on these airplanes. You know, just because you could change a spark plug on a, you know, car doesn't mean that you could go in and, you know, work on a, you know, on a jet engine on a Boeing. Now, the fact that landing gear are falling off, that's primarily due to lack of proper maintenance. They're not going to come out of the factory with loose bolts on them. Well, I guess with Boeing, I guess they can. They have holes in the fuselage, too. And the, I guess doors can blow off the sides of the planes. That's a primary. The primary problem with that is having unskilled labor because of diversity quotas that they have to hire now because of BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard telling them what they're going to do and who they're going to hire. The diversity quotas often have been one of the primary problems that we've had as far as proper maintenance on aircraft and, of course, with other things, too. You know, Biden's press secretary, many are saying, is the absolute worst person that's ever been in that position in the history of the world. And she was, again, another diversity hire. She's black and she's, you know, she's gay and all the rest of this stuff. And they put her in these positions of power. It's like Lightfoot was in Chicago. You had a, you know, 4 foot tall, approximately, I have no idea how tall she was, woman who basically is a hardcore lesbian who's black, who becomes mayor and is an unbelievable nightmare. Now, am I saying that all black people can't be in political power? Absolutely not. I've never said that. What I'm saying is when you make it so it's the skin color that determines their position and not the qualifications, it's wrong. You know, Colin Powell was a friend of mine, one of the smartest men I've ever known. Really, really nice guy. Super nice guy. And I used to speak with him all the time when we did the seminars. And, you know, he ended up dying, you know, after he took the COVID shot because he didn't know that he was being basically poisoned by this COVID shot. And so the sad part about all of this stuff is that, you know, when we sit back and we look at this and we start realizing that people should be hired based on their qualifications, not their skin color. I don't care, you know, if they're black or Hispanic or white. I don't care if they're green. Who cares? If they have the qualifications to fly the jet, and they've got the time in the seat, on the left seat as far as the pilot, they know how to fly. Let them fly the aircraft. Don't put a person in there from a diversity hire that doesn't know what they're doing. Now we're having, like you said, 5 problems with airplanes in the past week with Boeing. I mean, what the heck? And Boeing is one of the most woke companies out there. And quite frankly, they're destroying their own image by doing all this stuff, which is the same thing Disney did. Disney had the woke policy hiring and all the rest of the stuff they've done. And now they've got into grooming of children and everything else. And DeSantis basically came against them and all the rest of it. And so now they're destroying their own image, too, because they always do that. They basically want to force the population to accept their values. And people don't want to do that. By the way, let me change topics here, do a health story. Alarm over forever chemicals. The scientists find clear proof that toxic fluoride chemicals lurk in our blood can harm the heart. people with higher levels of PFAS in the blood have more fatty acids and lipids. Toxic chemicals lurking in cookware, this is like, you know, Teflon, making up of toiletries like dental floss, might be harming the heart, including the toothpaste that people are using, another study is suggesting. Scientists for years warned about the dangers of, you know, fluoride compounds, double forever chemicals, because they can linger in the environment for hundreds of years. They've been linked to everything from cancer to infertility. But the latest evidence by Dutch and German researchers suggests the impact of PFAS on human health could have an even greater harm than suspected. Tests showed clear signs that this fluoride led to higher levels of harmful blood lipids, such as cholesterol and other fatty substances. So all of this stuff is continuing to tell everybody, stop using Teflon. But the vast majority of the people that I know, they have Teflon pots and pans in their house. They have nonstick cookware. The vast majority of people that I know have fluoride in their toothpaste. And you think, wait a minute, why is that? We tell you not to all the time. We tell you how poisonous fluoride is. We tell you it makes you servile and infertile. Now, the people on the show who listen to this broadcast, they don't have that. It's my hope, and I hope you don't, that you don't have any Teflon pots and pans, any nonstick cookware, and that you're cooking in glass or cast iron or in stainless steel. Those are the three good ones. Because think about it. We talked about Parkinson's at the beginning of the show today. How do we not know that these Teflon compounds and these fluoride compounds are not directly linked to Parkinson's? Because I believe they probably are. How many people get all of these sprays and all of this stuff on their furniture, this non-stain stuff, and they sit on the furniture, they sit on there without a shirt on, and that's all fluoride compounds. This is some poisonous stuff, guys, and if we don't realize how bad it is, we'll continue to expose ourselves and our family to it. It's very important that we don't do that. By the way, another study came out that says using marijuana during pregnancy can raise the risk of a child having autism or ADHD by up to 30%, a large review warns. Is this partly why the rates of both conditions are rising in the United States? It may be because marijuana has become legal in a lot of states. It may be part of that. But also, we've got to remember, it's the shots these kids are being given, the chemicals they're being put into their bodies, all the MMR shots and all the rest of this. Now, another thing, the article just came up, and it said, huge push to get 900,000 young adults in the 90s, since 1990 generation, vaccinated against MMR amid worst measles outbreak in a decade. The officials are targeting 19 to 25-year-olds using pop-up vaccination clinics. Why? Because they want to get you with MMR. MMR is directly linked to autism. That's why I tie these two articles together. Don't do MMR, measles, mumps, rubella. You can't get them separate. Don't do them. I had measles. I had mumps. I'm fine. It's something that is in the general population that was no big deal. And the MMR shot at the 18-month mark has been linked directly to autism in children. Now, what they're doing is they're trying to get 1 million people who weren't vaccinated, like Austin, or my children, whose parents woke up and said, hey, we're not going to do this. They're trying to get them vaccinated and trying to force them to get vaccinated by this scare. This is important that we understand something, guys. The fear techniques and the fear pornography and fear porn they put out against the general population that stands for the truth and try to tell people that you don't need to have all these vaccines and immunizations, you know, that all they do is cause all types of problems with learning disabilities. They cause all kinds of problems with autism. They cause all kinds of problems with health. They cause all types of allergy when they put peanut oil in these shots as an adjunct to cause an inflammation at the shot. Now that child becomes allergic to peanuts. And if that child gets exposed to peanuts or eats peanuts, they can go into anaphylactic shock and die because of the vaccine. That happens all the time. So, guys, be really, really careful. And I posted these articles, and not so much because I wanted you to think that they were true, because they're not. I put them and posted them because I want you to realize that this is the propaganda that we're going against. Another article came out, said family shock after Ashley Tinberry, my condolences to her family, suddenly collapsed and later died due to mysterious bacteria that attacked her internal organs. Now, how do we know that the vaccine that people were given, this wasn't a vaccine, this MMR, not the MMR shot, the COVID shot, which has a compound in it to reduce the immune system, isn't what's causing this? I'm asking that question. I'm not saying this is true with her case. But how many people do you know are having all kinds of health problems right now because of what they've been exposed to as far as from these vaccines or these clot shots, whatever you want to call them? All of this stuff is things that we need to think about. You think, well, they wouldn't do that to us on purpose. What about thimerosal? Well, what about that? You know, when they cause all these children to be deformed and have little short arms, hands, et cetera, because they were giving it to women who were pregnant. How about that? How about DS, the diethylsilbestrol they were giving these pregnant women, and all of a sudden the entire generation of children born to these women basically were infertile, and the boys had testicular cancer. They knew all of this stuff was going to happen, you know, in advance with all the studies they had done, but they gave it to us anyhow just to see what would happen. How about the syphilis studies that were done affecting black men intentionally with syphilis to see how bad their brain development would be damaged? How about all of this stuff? How about the new Alzheimer's drug they're saying now that we can't get because, you know, it shows it shrinks the brain of Alzheimer's patients and causes severe neurological damage, but yet they're saying we've got to get this drug out there for Alzheimer's patients when we realize that aluminum is one of the primary causes of Alzheimer's disease and exposure to aluminum, aluminum chlorhydrate antiperspirant deodorants, cooking in aluminum pots and pans, using aluminum foil. All of this massively increases the aluminum, including the doggone geoengineering they're doing using aluminum particulate matter. All of this stuff. That's why I'm a big advocate of our magnesium brain food that goes in and chelates heavy metals back out of the brain. Something that's super, super important. I take it every single day. Guys, listen to me. There's all kinds of natural things that you can do to mitigate damage from all of the stuff they're doing to us. But it's up to us to take control and do what we need to do. Like Rob Pugh said in that article he wrote, it's up to us as Christians and as non-Christians who listen to this show to take care of their own health and to realize that we, you know, are responsible for our health by the choices that we make. If we eat white bread, it's pretty much devoid of nutrients. Why are you putting that into your body? Use whole grain bread that's organic, that doesn't have glyphosate sprayed on it or Roundup sprayed on it. You know, use healthy dairy products that are hormone free. All of this stuff is available to you out there. Now it's being reduced more and more and more because the general population is starting to learn about this, and they're trying to buy up the manufacturers of these types of products to limit our ability to get them. That's a fact. But the truth is, we still have the ability to get most of this stuff and take good high quality supplements and stay healthy. But I guess maybe it's a genetics thing as far as IQ, isn't it? Maybe they don't want the people that can't think through this complex series of events to reproduce. I don't know. But they're going to let them kill themselves by the stuff they put into their bodies. Think through what you put into your body. Think through what you read. Think through what you believe. And make sure it's what you want to believe and it's the truth. Austin, go ahead and finish it up, buddy. I will talk to you guys tomorrow.
No, you're spot on with that. Doing your own research now is a key essential thing that has to be done on a regular basis now, especially with all the propaganda and the crazy stuff that they put in the mainstream media all the time. So, again, thank you, my friends, for getting the truth out there on a regular basis. We're here to help you guys out the best we possibly can. And also be sure to take advantage of the B-Complex formula on sale the last day today as product of the week and vote for what you want to see win tomorrow. I think the Superfood Complete, the Joint Support, the Zinc Glycinate, they're all neck and neck. I think the Zinc Glycinate's winning, which, surprise, surprise, that's an incredibly good product for the immune system and reproductive health and antioxidant activity. But vote for what you want to see win at healthmasters.com. We're here to help you out the best we possibly can. Have a blessed, safe, awesome evening, my friends. Stay strong, stay healthy. We'll talk to you on this show tomorrow, as always.
Broadcasting to the U.S. and around the world by way of Clear Digital Audio, 22,500 miles above the planet, this is the Global Star Radio Network.